Good afternoon.
G'day, Brooke. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. And yourself?
Fine, thank you. I'm here with Jo Ferreira.
Hello.
Professor Jo Ferreira, and I'm Professor Nan Barr from Southern Cross University.
And you mentioned teacher education as a competency fixation. Can you explain further what this means?
Yeah, I can try to a bit. There's been a lot of interest over the last few years, maybe even a decade, in trying to identify what teachers can actually do in a classroom. Can they plan a lesson? Can they assess it? Can they keep the kids quiet? All of that sort of thing. And that sort of focus on competencies tends to miss the deeper relationships and deeper sort of personal qualities that someone brings to the classroom and to working with children. What can you, anything to add, Jo?
I mean, I'd say that, you know, it's the same thing. It's really around those relational capacities, I suppose, that are so fundamental to the learning process that the competencies framework is not looking at, in a sense. It's focusing on important things, so we're not saying that it isn't important to think about the competencies, but that focus on those things misses out some other equally important factors.
That's right. They're necessary but not sufficient. So, for example, it's quite useful to have a teacher that's quite clearly very caring with the students and can establish really deep and meaningful relationships with them that help the students feel very strongly that they're capable. That's not actually picked up very well if you're just ticking off to see whether someone's got a complete and efficient and effective plan for their teaching.
Yeah, definitely. And why is standardised testing considered a national obsession?
Well, we've been quite interested, I think, as a nation to see how we fit against other nations. There's this like league table to see whether we're better than or worse than Finland or some other place. And there's a number of international standardised testing regimes that we've been involved in. And part of our development for that has been getting people to develop students for NAPLAN, the annual testing. And I think most teachers would say that they spend quite a bit of time of their classroom activity with kids preparing them for those examination settings. And in so doing, I wonder what else is being robbed.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's about, again, it's not saying that there's a fundamental problem with us finding this sort of information out about how our students are coping, but if that becomes the major focus of activity that's happening in a classroom, then we're missing out on giving students a more rounded education.
And it has been seen that Australia does have a lack of autonomy in their schools. If we kind of look at systems from other countries like Finland, what can we learn from these?
Well, I'll go first again, Jo, sorry. Finland is an interesting one because they actually took all of the reins away from their teachers and said, look, you understand your learners. This is where we want the students to be at the end of the day. You map the path. And that's been really quite successful for them. They've turned around a situation where the students were average at best into being world leaders. And so that reliance on teachers making the everyday decisions about how they'll connect with their students is really important, and that's what they've done. But in Australia, that's not quite what we've done. We've clamped things down and said that they need to do this and they need to do that by this time and so forth.
Yeah, and I suppose it's that, you know, seeing teachers as deliverers of content and curriculum in a sense versus seeing teachers as professionals capable of looking at the cohort of students that they have in front of them and actually devising the best possible educational plan and pathway for that particular cohort of students. And it's that very personalised approach, I suppose, to education that really delivers, we believe, a rich educational outcome.
Yeah, definitely. And you do mention that teaching as a vocation is viewed negatively and publicly scorned. Why do you think this is the case, and what are your thoughts on teaching's stigma?
Well, I like to think that we've had an impact on that recently. But up until quite recently, we did a scan of newspaper articles and anything that really mentioned teachers in the news. And it was always to highlight some sort of scandalous situation. some sort of outrage about a teacher that had done the wrong thing, or about students that hadn't performed well on NAPLAN, or students that were out of control and the teachers were cutting their hair, or, you know, all sorts of bizarre things. And we did a scan over a 12-month period, and we found that more often than not, teachers and the teaching profession were portrayed in negative situations. And I personally was touched by the Commonwealth Games, where we saw athletes doing extraordinarily well, and we talked about the athletes, but we also talked about their coaches and how those coaches had made amazing impacts on the lives and capabilities of those athletes. And I just, it would be great if we started to focus a little bit more closely on the amazing things that many teachers do. And I have seen a little turnaround just recently. Have you, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you can even, I know there was an article recently that Madonna King responded to the Andrew Lemming article, kind of pointing out the positive and important work that teachers do and the role that they have to play, in delivering us a great society and well-educated population, really.
But it's been a long time coming, I have to say. Yeah. There has been a lot of negativity, and I wonder how long it's going to last, this little wave of recognition of the incredible work that teachers do.
Yeah, definitely. And finally, what initial course of action do you think must be taken for interest in teaching to rise again?
Well, I think exactly what we're starting to see happen, starting to focus on the incredible things that some teachers do and the changes that they've made on people's lives. There's stories that we can tell in our local communities where a teacher has encouraged and developed a cohort of students beyond their wildest imaginations. You know, football teams, sporting teams, chess teams, going off to NASA, putting together programs for students that otherwise would be disengaged and turning them around. We all know stories where teachers have really put in an amazing effort and put in place programs and experiences that have changed the fortunes of students in our midst. And if we can start hailing those as heroic achievements in the news, rather than trying to find the scandalous stories, it would make a huge difference, I think.
Yeah, and it's also trying to figure out, we know the research tells us that when you talk to most parents about the teachers that their children have, parents are usually quite positive about their own experiences that their children have had and that they've had with teachers. However, generally there seems to be a social trend, I suppose, to viewing teachers negatively. So we're trying to figure out how do we capitalise, in a sense, on that personal experience that people are having in our society, that parents have, and how do we extend those positive experiences out into the general debate that's happening around teaching?
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.